Friday Drive, it's movies with Mark, and we're looking at DVD and Blu-rays, and I can't help but say Batman, Wonder Woman, Justice League.
Aquaman.
Man, Flashman. Cyborg Man.
Cyborg Man. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Wonder Woman is kind of outnumbered here, I will say, in Justice League. So the story is Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman. Oh, is that a spoiler?
Oh.
It can't be.
No,
it's not, is it? No, okay, fine. Yes, so Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman, is struggling to come to terms with the death of Superman. He enlists Diana Prince, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, and some more allies to fight an enemy not of this world. So, obviously, Marvel have basically cornered the market. Juggernauted the market in comic book movies, whereas DC films have not done too well since Christopher Nolan left them, it's fair to say. Wonder Woman's solo outing was probably an anomaly. Justice League, this follows on from Batman vs. Superman. It's an interesting film, I will say that. There are still a lot of dark themes which DC deal with very, very well in their comics and in some of the films as well. You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on here. What I found really interesting in this film is the fact that they show Bruce Wayne as a man very, very troubled. We see a lot of Bruce Wayne in this. We don't see much of Batman at all, to be honest with you. You know, he's trying to get to grips with the death of Superman and how he caused it, which I really like in this film. I like the fact that it delves into that type of subject matter. And, you know, this is a very different Batman as well. This is a world-weary Batman.
Because he's been doing it for about 20, 25 years in this, hasn't he?
This is the thing, and this is what I like about it, is the fact that when he does get punched or kicked and he falls over, it takes him a long time to get up, and he has the aches and pains. So we're seeing a very, very different person here, which I really like in this film as well. The CGI, we've spoken about CGI quite a lot.
I know what's coming.
Yeah, the CGI is laid on very, 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 very thickly here. It is one of those things, that's the way the DC films have now gone. They're just laying it on very heavily, even if it's dark tones or not, it's still in the film. I will say it's far too much. They could have toned it down quite a bit and it still wouldn't have impacted the storyline. I think that they need to learn their lesson because audiences are getting a little bit bored of it as well. So, you know, it's one of those films where you think, oh, we could have done without that. The big baddie in this, Steppenwolf, not the band.
Yeah, Born to be Wild.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Nobody makes the joke in the film. You would think they would make that joke. Yeah, it's a shame.
Opportunity wasted.
Yeah, exactly. So the bad guy, Steppenwolf, not so much an evil bad guy who's going to take over the world. More of a sort of a mid-level boss that you would play in a computer game, something like Street Fighter 2. You know, he's not particularly angry at anything. He's not particularly interesting. He's sort of just wandering about trying to get these cubes, and that's about it. It's a bit of a poor villain, to be honest with you. The good thing about the film beyond Batman is the fact that actually all of these other allies who have come in, Flash, Cyborg, you know, they've got their own storylines. We actually learn quite a bit about them. Normally, you know, they're shoehorned in and this is them, so we do learn a bit about them. I quite like that as well. But once again, the film is entirely saved by Wonder Woman and Diana Prince. Obviously, they're the same person, because she just does what she does naturally, which is go in there and just be, you know, she's just a force of nature. This is the thing. She doesn't care about what Batman said or whatever else is. She's just going to go in there first. I'm going to kick down the door and I'm going to fight everybody. And you're like, this is what we want to see. We want to see some action. And she's very good at it, actually. I really liked her in it.
Everybody needs a dustbin lid.
Yeah, this is true, actually. So I was really impressed that they've kept her attitude throughout as well. The film is directed by Zack Snyder, who is a very CGI-heavy director anyway, so that's understandable. That's why it is. However, he left halfway through editing. He had some personal problems. So he left, and Joss Whedon came in to do it. Joss Whedon, okay. King of the Nerds, you know.
Right, so the right direction, hopefully.
No, this is the weird thing. They brought him in to lighten the tone. This is what they said. However, I think the comedic touches that he's put in don't work at all. It's making it over... Well, it's not oversimplifying the entire story. It's just a bit too funny. You're like, no, there's some serious things here. Have a couple of wisecracks, sure, but there's too much humour in this film. And I feel like Whedon has actually done himself a disservice by taking this on, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's got some problems. Don't get me wrong. We're still not at the stage of Marvel or the original, you know, or Nolan's Batman trilogy or anything else like that. But it is a small step in the right direction, which is a little bit surprising, I guess, considering what we've had. But if they keep doing this, they're going to get there.
Yeah. Okay. Justice League. And we finish with a drama starring Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson entitled Wonder.
Yeah, it's a story about August Pullman, who is a boy with facial differences who decides to attend mainstream school for the first time. However, Augie soon discovers that kids can both be cruel and kind. You're about the same age as me, Charlie.
Is this a retelling of the one that had Cher in it?
This is exactly what I was about to say, was that right. Do you remember the 1985 film with Cher called Mask?
Yes.
Yes, or do you remember the film with Mel Gibson, The Man With No Face?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yes. Man Without a Face, sorry. Or even The Elephant Man.
Oh, yes.
You know, okay, it doesn't have the same sort of thing as The Elephant Man. But yeah, this is very similar to it. Very, very similar, actually. The story is basically that you feel sorry for Augie in the film because, you know, he's stuck at home. He's stuck because of his facial differences. So when he goes off to school, you kind of feel like, fantastic, he's finally getting his own life. He's not stuck there with his parents. And it does make you feel a little bit sad for him, I've got to say, because you're thinking, oh, please let it work. Please let him be brought into school and have friends as well. But, you know, he can only get himself into school so far before people start coming up and taunting him. This is the thing. So, you know, everyday life is cruel. That's the way it is. And unfortunately, it does start at school. And this film does do that. The kids pick on him, make fun of his face. And I think that's what drives him to... He almost drops out, but at the same time, his parents say, no, no, stick it through. Stay there. Stay with it. You can do this. And I like that. The problem is the whole storyline is rather dull and tedious, actually. It all looks, sounds, and feels like it is written by adults speaking as children.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. So there is not a genuine children's voice in this film, even though the film is about children, basically.
Putting words into their mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's moments in the school where you think a child would never say that. That is far too wordy and far too heavy a dialogue for them ever to say it. So it is... I don't understand why they've done this. I think it's because the filmmakers were so worried about offending people. Like, it didn't matter where you were, they were worried about offending everybody. Because it's just so down the line, down the middle, that they don't offend anybody. So, like, there's a moment here where they're having dinner at school. And instead of burgers and chips, which me and you probably had at some point. Yeah, exactly.
Before the rules came in.
Exactly, before the rules came in. And I know there's rules in there and, you know, healthy food and whatever else, but I'm sure that they still sneak a burger or chips in once a week or something like that. Not in this at all. There is a moment where they're eating one sandwich and then they get their fruit out and then they get their nuts out. And you go, okay, I get what you're trying to say, but this doesn't feel like real school at all. It feels like you're trying to preach what a
public service message.
Exactly, yeah. A perfect school would like. You know, and this is the whole point of the film, is that it should be about how different people come together, but it's not. Instead, it's a bland fish out of water story that should connect you with Augie's real story, and it doesn't. The funny thing was, I was watching this film and I was a huge fan of the TV show Parenthood, which was a spin-off of the Steve Martin film from the 80s. And in that, they had a young boy, a teenage boy, who had Asperger's. And this actor didn't have Asperger's, but they did it so well in the film, in the TV show, that you felt like he did have it. And in that show, you felt every joy, every despair that that family had. And I'm kind of thinking, that's what I wanted with Wonder as well.
But it's just lacking.
It just misses every single emotional motive at all. You know, it's just, as I said, it's bland. And that's the problem with the film. It is bland. There's no genuine emotion in the film. And it kind of, I did think, who is this for? Is it for parents? Is it for families? Because it doesn't feel like it, but then is it for kids? And I would not show this film to kids because they'd be very bored. Because Augie, he's a nice kid. You know, he's kind of fun and he's got his own little world here. But kids are going to be really, really bored by watching him put on a spacesuit or pretend to be friends with Star Wars characters. You know, it doesn't know who it's preaching to, basically. That's the problem. So, yeah, it is a non-entity of a movie, which is a shame when you've got Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson in there.
So Wonder, Justice League, Isle of Dogs and Ready Player One. You've done quite well with liking films this week because usually you're really slating them.
Yeah, I know. This
complaining about the CGI and the acting and the story and...
Everything. Yeah, I know. Well, I left the moans and groans till the end.
And if you're listening to this on catch-up, you'll be pleased to see a new picture of Mark posing for us in the studio with some movie memorabilia. 3D glasses and popcorn again. Sans blue hoodie.
I look a much more smarter person now.
You do, and it's about time we did that because we've been nagging each other for weeks about this. Thanks very much, Mark. We'll catch you next week.